Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to The Gold Derby Show on the Gold Derby Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Gold Derby. I'm Christopher Rosen. I'm joined by Joy Zing. We're back, Joyce, after a brief break. And we're going to talk about the best limited series categories at the Emmy Awards. How's it going, Joyce?
It's going all right. Watching the Olympics. How was your beach week?
Yeah, I was on a beach week. It was great. I didn't go to the beach pretty much at all. We went to the beach and then I didn't do it. I don't love the beach. I don't love
me
sand
either. I'm not a beach person either.
It the sand just gets everywhere.
Yeah. Like if you invite me, I'll go, but I would never actually actively go myself.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, it's fun. The ocean's cool. I like looking at the ocean and like just pondering life's existence, which is
And Emmy predictions. Obviously.
And Emmy predictions. I thought a lot about the Emmy Awards and a lot about this limited series category.
You came back Monday and you're like, we need to talk about limited series.
It's weighing on this because it feels like undecided. I mean, like we talked before about like Ted Lasso, pretty much guaranteed or, you know, overwhelming choice for best comedy and The Crown seemingly. Overwhelming choice for best drama. Queen's Gambit still in the lead here, but I don't know. I think it's vulnerable, let's say.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely vulnerable. It's the tightest of like those, the three series races, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I mean, like right now, Queen's Gambit's still in the lead here in our odds, but Mare of Easttown right there, you know, like about 600-ish votes or, you know, picks behind. Not that, you know, not a total blowout. And then you have I May Destroy You right there as well. The other nominees in the category are WandaVision on the Underground Railroad. I actually thought WandaVision maybe would be, I think in my picks, I have it ahead of I May Destroy You just because of the amount of nominations it got. I felt like that would kind of, if we were ranking it, that would give it the edge over I May Destroy You. But yeah, I don't know. I still love Queen's Gambit. I think overall as a series, people really loved it. I think Mare of Easttown will maybe get it. We'll talk about the best actress and probably could win there. But, you know, again, we've said this before, the recency bias or the unrecency of Queen's Gambit, it literally aired in October of last year. That feels just so long ago. And I'm wondering, are people,
is even older.
Yeah. Did people revisit this show? Are they going back to watch Queen's Gambit before?
That's a good question. And I don't think I've ever discussed that with anyone before. Like I know people who have watched the Queen's Gambit when it aired or like, you know, around like fall or like early winter this year. But I don't know anyone who's gone back to revisit it. Like everyone I know who's watched it really liked it, but yeah, I don't know if that's something, especially now when you're voting, I can't see these like thousands of voters just, you know, even in like the portal, like watching these episodes, like, especially now that people are back working, you know, last year was probably under this new system. Last year probably had the highest number of like views of like the episode submissions in the portal because everyone was just in lockdown. But this year, like, I don't think anyone's doing that. Like if you've already seen The Queen's Gambit, I don't think you would revisit it. But if you had missed Mare of Easttown when it aired a couple weeks ago or like months ago now, 2 months ago, you might be more inclined to check it out, especially if you've heard everyone talking about it and it's so recent. So I actually have Mare winning right now.
Wow. So you're one of the
I made the switch post nominations. Yeah.
Wow. Just because of the recent, like, what is your reasoning for that?
Like partially the recency bias. You know, most of the winners in the last few years, except for Watchmen, have come from the second half of the eligibility period. And it was a huge hit. And like people, like not just like industry folks, but like regular people really love it. And I think that's important because like that's how I knew like Chernobyl was going to win, when everyone was like, when they see us all the way. Because I was like, that show got like, you know, insane ratings on IMDb, which is not a metric that everyone should go by, but that's also not the type of show that would break those types of records. So it was just like hitting with people. And I felt like Mare was hitting with people the same way. Not that like Queen's Gambit didn't, but I think there's more of like an emotional connection to Mare. And yeah, like the recency thing. And I know like Queens is still very strong. And obviously it swept like all the guilds in the winter, but it also didn't have to face Mare. Mm-hmm. Or it faced WandaVision and a couple awards because of like the weird eligibility stuff. And I Made a Story didn't do that well in the winter either. So I feel like that it could have just won a lot of those awards in the absence of stronger competition, you know?
I don't disagree. The reason I still have it there is I just think it overall had more nominations than Mare. So that was,
yeah, like, but it's also like you expected that because
right. That's true.
It's a period piece and you knew it was going to be really big below the line. And I mean, Mare only got two fewer nominations, like 16 to 18.
Right.
So, and it's a contemporary show with not a lot of flashy production. So
I don't know. I still have it in there, but I don't think it's a lock by any means. I don't know. I just think because my rationale is that it was like, it's been the favorite. People did really love it. And I think while maybe they didn't go back to revisit it, I think the memory of the show is not negative. You know what I mean? Like, I think, yeah. And the finale is probably the best episode. So you're really going out on a high of the Queen's Gambit. So if you watched it in October of literally last year, and if I asked a random person if they had watched it and what they thought, they'd probably go, oh, it's a good show. Even if the beginning was a little slow, even if there are parts where you're like, oh, whatever, but like, it's a good show. And I think that in the end,
I guess we would just need to ask people if it's in between those two, like, which one do you actually prefer? I mean, like, that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Right. That's true. I don't know. I could see it. I think it's pretty close. I don't think the other three, like you said, I think I May Destroy You has opportunities to win elsewhere. I don't think it's going to win Best Series. WandaVision was an intriguing dark horse, but I just don't think it's going to work. And Underground Railroad feels like the nomination is the reward there.
I mean, yeah, it's just seven nominations. We talked about this before. Like,
we did. And I got to tell you, this week I thought of Underground Railroad because Amazon sent out a big flashy press release about the Lord of the Rings show that they're putting out that they spent half of $1 trillion like a billion, on, whatever yeah. it was, right? Like $465 billion, whatever it cost, a lot of money. And it's coming out now, September 2022.
It'll so we'll be eligible in 2023.
Yes. So when we do this 2 years from now, we'll be talking about the Lord of the Rings show still. And I was like, and they, in that announcement, they said they're going to do weekly episodes starting in September. It's September 2nd, I think 2022 or whatever date it was. And I was like, I wonder, that's a total, like, I think a shift from the previous Amazon way of releasing things. And I wonder how much the Underground Railroad experience had an effect on the
Underground Railroad's legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like Amazon does release some shows weekly, like the Boys season 2 weekly, but not all the shows. So, but yeah, Underground Railroad definitely should have been a weekly drop.
And if you look at how the Boys did at the Emmys compared to like Underground Railroad, I mean, maybe, you know, probably should have been weekly.
Two very different type of shows.
Yeah. But, you know, I think the weekly model, I think I'm hoping the weekly model has a comeback.
Yeah, I think Mare, just a traditional weekly show. Like, I don't think it would have been as big if it were like a date and date release on like HBO Max or something.
No
like,
way.
Even like something like Hacks, like, you know, it was two episodes a week, but it was over 5 weeks and it still kind of built that buzz as people were watching it. So.
Yeah, I think I've been watching a lot of, you know, like Ted Lasso and Schmigadoon I was watching. And again, those are like, and Gossip Girl. They're all these shows are weekly releases. Love Gossip Girl. We could talk about that for the Emmys later. But I'm just like, I do think it helps build the interest. And it's not.
Especially now that there's like a billion shows, like no one can keep up and it's just overwhelming when you log into like Netflix or whatever, and you see like it's the full season and it's 10 episodes and you just don't have the time to watch this right now.
Right. And I think a lot of times too, not to, you know, I think you end up feeling like if I was going to go in and be like, oh, I'm going to watch, I don't even know what show, whatever show. And I'm like, oh, if I've already missed the cultural conversation and then have to catch up with like 10 or 12 episodes, like, am I going to do that? But if you go in and you're like, oh, like for instance, like Mayor of Easttown, let's say you, it was, I think, what was it? 8 episodes, right? Or 7 or 8. So let's say you're like by the first month or something, you're like, oh, I've heard this Mayor of Easttown show is great. Let me go check it out. And there's 4 episodes. That's not that imposing. You could do that over like a couple of nights.
No, that's how one of my friends caught up, because she, you know, saw like ads for it and stuff. And then like her coworkers were talking about it. And then she asked me about it. And I was like, at that point I had like watched screeners. So I was like ahead, and I was like, oh, you should definitely watch it. So she caught up, because right, she was like ready by like the next episode air date.
And I think that helps. Like, whereas if you were like, if you were like, oh, I've heard about this show, you know, using the limited series like Queen's Gambit as a great show, and then you're going to go pop it in and it's like 7 hours, that feels like a long time. And I think maybe people are less inclined to be like, oh. So regardless, that's for 2020. We'll talk about this with the Lord of the Rings later. But yeah, so at Queen's Gambit and Mare of Easttown. And then we have that same battle in the limited series actress category. Excuse me, Kate Winslet and Anya Taylor-Joy, just pretty much dead heat. Right now, Kate Winslet has like less than 100 votes on our odds, or, you know, people are picking her compared to Anya Taylor-Joy. I have Kate Winslet also. I think she's going to win. I
have Kate as well. I switched to her by the end of the show. I'm not going to abandon her now.
No, it just feels like Anya Taylor-Joy won a lot previously, obviously, as she won at the Golden Globes and the SAG Awards. I just think like she may not necessarily peaked, but I think having to go, people feel it's not like she's not, I guess I would say it's not like she's not been rewarded for this. So I think that is going to play into it too. And like Kate gets her Emmy here for this. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I like I said this before, like I think it's kind of like 2 years ago with like Patricia Arquette and Michelle Williams, when Patricia Arquette won like all the winter awards for Dannemora, and then Michelle, you know, was like surprise, Fosse Verdon, and then she won the Emmy and then went on to sweep the following season. So I think this is kind of like that, because like people just, because when people watch like Fosse Verdon, even though that show like didn't win series or anything, I got 17 nominations, but like it wasn't going to win series. But it was like, I think that performance was like a surprise to a lot of people, like how good she was and how much people love it. And I feel like that's the type of vibe that Kate's performance is sending. Like people love that show, love that performance and the characterization and the writing of it. And, you know, Anya is great too. And yeah, like she's won a lot. And I don't think it's the same as last year when a lot of people were, you know, when Mrs. America premiered and people were like Kate Blanchett versus Regina King, but Mrs. America also didn't land the same way as Mayor of Easttown did. And like Kate was never really a contender. Mm-hmm. So I think those are like the two precedents of like which way it can go. And I think it's going to go the way of 2019.
I think you're right. And I think the other, like you said, like, I think the, maybe I would use surprise as like the word. Like, I think Kate Winslet, obviously, like no one is like going to be like surprised that Kate Winslet is great.
No, but I think like they were surprised at how much they loved it.
Yes. And I think like it's a different performance for her, right? Like, I think she's not, you know, I think people maybe rightly or wrongly, just because of the stuff she's done, maybe think of like period work for Kate Winslet. You know what I mean? Like kind of like having her in a contemporary role and really crushing it with the accent work. It definitely feels like Meryl Streepy. Like it definitely, I could see like, you know, like this, if this was 20 years ago, it would have been Meryl Streep maybe. And like, kind of like people like being like, oh, this is great. I don't know. I think she's
gonna. So like Kate won 10 years ago for Mildred Pierce. Yeah. And I feel like if she were competing with that now against Anya, she would not win.
No, because I think that the periodness would be too similar. And I think Anya is like doing a good thing. The other thing with Anya is that like, I love that performance. It's like one of my favorite things. And I really just love Queen's Gambit, but she's like, definitely, it's definitely like a John Hamm, Don Drapery kind of vibe. And I think that makes it a little
good comparison.
I think it makes it tough sometimes for voters or viewers are like, not necessarily sure how much you should be rooting for her. Or like, you know, it's not that she's like an anti-hero, but I just think it's like the subtleness of the performance and a lot of it's so internalized that it makes it maybe like, a thing that people are going to respect more, and or, you know, maybe in the face of the Kate Winslet performance, which is like so big in like a good way, that she'll end up prevailing. That's my thinking. I don't know.
I mean, this category is stacked, because like
great,
you like, I would not be surprised if Michaela or Elizabeth Olsen won. Like, I want to put Elizabeth Olsen higher, but I have no room for her. And then there's Cynthia Erivo as Aretha. So yeah,
it's really great. I love this one too. It ended up being, we knew this was going to be like a stack category, like just because
this is like one of the categories that like probably everyone got right.
Yes. And it's like a great, it's just a great group. Like if any of them won, truly, it would be like, cool. Like I'd be like, oh, that's great. Like if Cynthia Erivo, Elizabeth Olsen, and Michaela Cole won, you'd be like, that's really cool. Even if like we wanted Kate Winslet to win, you know, it's like, it is a great group. Yeah, I don't know. So Kate Winslet and the other limited series, great, because the acting categories are so tight. That's why I was just staring at the ocean thinking about this for a whole week. Couldn't wait to talk to you about this.
And it has the fewest numbers. It's only five. Like these other categories have like 7 and 8.
Right. Limited series actor, you have your boy Paul Bettany still in the lead.
Yeah, my guy.
But my guy, Hugh Grant, just coming up strong. You.
It's representing the Brits. Well, these two Brits.
And then you have Leslie Odom, Hugh McGregor, and Lin-Manuel Miranda rounding out the category. Honestly, any of these people could win. I don't think Ewan McGregor, or I could see Leslie Odom honestly winning. It depends on how much like the Hamilton like love it goes. He won the Tony. So like, you know, I could see people being like, well, if he won that already, like we got to give him this.
I just like, yeah, like the Hamilton thing. I just feel like people vote differently for winners. I mean, like they do have to vote differently for winners versus nominations. Cause for nominations, you get list off as many people as you want. And I feel like when it's unlimited, you know, like you might have like your top two favorites. Let's say your top two favorites are Paul Bettany and Hugh Grant. You put them right down, but then like, I feel like subconsciously, because it's unlimited, you feel not pressure, but like inclined to list other performances that you like or other shows you like. And like, who doesn't like Hamilton, you know?
Right.
So then you're just like checking off like Leslie and like Lin-Manuel and like everyone else and supporting. And like, that's how they get it. I think, I feel like Hamilton's like nominations, like their haul is more of a reflection of the voters' rejection of other shows than it is a reflection of how much they love this Disney Plus taping of Hamilton.
Right. I also think it's a reflection too of how many people probably watched it over the last year. I mean, like I've watched it like at least 3 or 4 times just on Disney Plus, like putting it on or whatever. Great. I love Hamilton. I don't care. And I think other people probably did too, especially if you have like, you know, kids or whatever. Like, I feel like it must be a very popular title for Disney Plus. So I think like people have checked it out more than once. And it is kind of like, because it's a musical, it's like kind of like watchable in the sense that it's like, you don't have to pay 100% divided attention. You know, like you could just have it on, listen to the songs, watch the, you know, it's a good thing. That all said,
it's history.
Yeah, that all said, I don't think Leslie Odom's going to win, but I do wonder if Hugh Grant has enough. The reason I would say no is because The Undoing really kind of flopped. I think it only got 2 nominations, right? Or it was not a lot. I think it was Hugh Grant. Let me see.
Yeah.
And like WandaVision, as we said, had a ton of nominations. That's the reason I think for Paul Bettany to win. Yeah, it got 2 nominations, Outstanding Production Design and Lead Actor. And
I mean, those sets were fancy, man.
Yeah. Great, great production design. Loved it. Love that. Like the art studio where the murder happens is really, really great set, I would say. And then WandaVision had, what did it have?
23.
So that would be the reason for Paul Bettany. I think like people love him in that, but I do wonder, the Hugh Grant performance is so good. And he even carries the hacktastic finale. I don't know.
Those I could
see him winning.
I mean, I would love if like Hugh Grant won. Like I wish he had won last time. Like that, I mean, he was not winning that last time for a very English scandal, but like, you know, we've discussed this before. I've been on the Paul Bettany train since like March with WandaVision's performance. Like this category is so open. Like I'm just going to stay with him. Like I'm not going to go to either Hamilton guy, although I can definitely see Leslie winning. And like Ewan, you know, like Halston is kind of in the same situation as The Undoing, where it just, it's also like I know a lot of people are making the comparison between this and like Hollywood last year, but Hollywood last year did well. Like it got multiple acting nominations, you know? So like, I don't know if like Ewan, like this is like enough for him to win this, but
I don't think so.
You can't make a case for all five of them winning because it's the opposite of the actress category.
Right. No, I think Halston maybe should have been, in hindsight, I wonder if it would have been helped to delay for next Emmy cycle. I just think there was too much already out and kind of got lost a little. It came out, I think, right at the end of May. So it kind of just
like Hollywood came out last May too. So I don't
know. Yeah, I'm assuming that was
maybe like they just care more about Hollywood because they saw
maybe, but I think like, and I think Hollywood like was flashier and stuff like as a premise, but I was like, Halston's really good and he's awesome on it. I kind of wish they would have waited until like I think if you would have thrown that in like the fall or late fall and like kind of focused on next year's Emmys with it, it would have maybe been a bigger deal. But I just think the way it came out, like right in the crunch of everything else,
yeah, people just kind of like lost it.
Because it's a good show. He's really good on it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. Paul Bettany for me.
Yeah. I think I'm going to stick with probably you, but I could, you know, just going to go down with the ship. Oh, love you.
I admire your loyalty.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, if you're going to go down hard with you, Grant, I guess. Sure. And then we've got the supporting category is a little more daylight here. Catherine Hahn, Agatha All Along continues to really lead. And you have Julianne Nicholson from Mare of Easttown, a solid second choice. I've been tempted to switch to Julianne Nicholson, but I'm sticking with Agatha All Along. I just think like that one is, in the end, the stickiness of that meme is enough to have her win. It's, I think, just you automatically think of Agatha All Along, and that's it. It's like, oh yeah, Catherine Hahn's great. Let her win.
Yeah, I'm really torn here because I would love for both of them to win. And like, I switched to Julianne like after the Mare finale, but then now I'm back on the Catherine train. I do love that like these performances, like those two in particular, are complete opposites.
Yes.
So that's kind of great. But yeah, I just, after like WandaVision got those 23, I'm just like, I feel like that's enough. And then like her just having a moment this year might be enough to push over the edge. And I also don't know, like if I do switch to Julianne, you know, tease for the next category, like I'll be predicting three acting winners for Mare of Easttown.
Right.
That was the other. It's impossible. Yeah. But it's just funny. So
that's part of the reason why I didn't switch. Honestly, I just think that like to tease the next category, then we've got Evan Peters. From supporting actor, he is definitely not he's the favorite, not overwhelming, I would say, because there's like in our odds, at least Daveed Diggs is like a good solid amount behind, but as like a second choice, I still think Evan Peters will win though.
Yeah, I have Evan, and then like I said like previously, like, you know, he was also in WandaVision, and we know they like clearly liked WandaVision too. But I think of all the Hamilton people, like Daveed is the best position to actually win.
I agree. So he was nominated at the SAG Awards for this performance. He won at the Tony Awards for this performance. It's definitely the biggest performance in the show. I think you could say like, he's like full energy.
It's a fan favorite.
And he's got so many other things. He was obviously on Good Lord Bird. He has Snowpiercer. He produced Blindspotting. There's a lot of
Announced the SAG nominations on Instagram Live.
So there's a lot of he's in a lot of spots. So I think that helps keep his visibility very high. I could see him winning, honestly, because I just think Evan Peters, like you said, like because of the WandaVision thing, because he's been so beloved for a while without any kind of awards recognition, this feels like the best opportunity to reward him. And I think, like you said, I think it's easier to vote for the Hamilton nominations than it is maybe the win. And I wonder if people will be like, you know, Daveed Diggs has won a ton and Hamilton has been so rewarded that maybe it is nice a time for Evan Peters to to win something. I don't know. So I do have him winning as well, but I think you're right.
He's David not like, is definitely a front runner, like a runaway front runner by any means, Evan.
Right.
But I think he makes the most sense out of this lineup.
I mean, yeah, because the rest of the nominees, you have Papa Esiedu for I May Destroy You is in like third in our odds. And then Thomas Brody Sangster for Queen's Gambit, Jonathan Groff and Anthony Ramos for Hamilton rounding it out. Sure. I mean, all those are good performances, but I just don't think they're going to win. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Thomas Brody Sangster maybe would have had, he's got like a fun part, but I actually don't even think he's like I preferred
Bill Camp.
Well, Bill Camp would have been lead somehow, right? I don't even know how.
No, he would have been supporting.
He would have been supporting.
Yeah, because he's only in the first episode. He's in like 15 minutes of the first episode.
I know, but he was, well, I guess you're right. Because I was thinking like at the SAG Awards, he was somehow.
I was sad because it's just one category.
Yeah. Right, right. Bill Camp was good. And also, what's his face from Harry Potter? Harry Melling or Henry Melling?
Harry
Melling. Yeah. I liked him a lot more. And I
did too.
He was great. So yeah, but like, Evan Peters, great. Love to see him win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I switch to Julianne, I'll have three mayor acting
and mayor winning series. I mean, that would be like, that's the reason.
But I don't have a winning either writing or directing.
So that's why I haven't switched off of Queen's Gambit yet. Because in writing, well, in directing, I have Queen's Gambit winning. And I don't even have Mayor Beastown fourth in my, I think, in mine.
I mean, I think the directing of Mayor Easttown is very underrated. Like, I think it's perfect for that show. It's not, you know, really flashy, but it's like intimate, and like the choices, like the camera angles in certain scenes are just, you know, perfect for like that moment. So it's not, you don't have like long tracking shots or anything or like chests on the ceiling, but I think like these, it's up against these other shows like Queen's Gambit and WandaVision, where they're just, you know, more technical. And we kind of mentioned this last time we were talking about comedy directing with like the Ted Lasso episodes. And it's like, they're all very well directed, but it's not a feature of an element of the show that a lot of people talk about.
Correct. That's why I would actually sit here and I have my number two choice is Underground Railroad. I understand it has no shot probably, but I actually think if you were really thinking about the directing of these shows, the nominees are Queen's Gambit, I May Destroy You, Ego Death, WandaVision, Mare of Easttown, Underground Railroad, Hamilton, and I May Destroy You, Eyes. I think you could argue that Underground Railroad and Barry Jenkins is definitely the best directing here. It truly is like a work of art. But I just don't think it'll win because of how it underperformed, let's say, as a nominee. But I think if you were actually going for like best directing, I could easily make a case that Underground Railroad would be the choice here because it's like,
I think
such
the problem is like, I don't know. Well, I guess like based on its seven nominations, you know, you could argue it wasn't watched enough. And I don't know if anyone will make the time to watch it now.
No, but I have that number two for me, and I have Queen's Gambit winning because I just think like, again, the thing that Queen's Gambit has, and like you said, like Mare of Easttown also really nice directing, but the Queen's Gambit feels a little more showy. I think there's more like flourishes of directorial, you know, trademarks and like authorship than Mare of Easttown, which feels like very much like, if not anonymous, just like, you know, very, it's like the show. It's just very unflashy and like kind of like it's, it just does the job really well. Like, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff doesn't always win. So.
Yeah, I have WandaVision in second.
WandaVision, I think, would be a really strong pick. Like we said previously, it had so many nominations, but it also is like very much, I think, an achievement technically because you're mixing a lot of visual effects with the very...
It's different every week.
Yeah, and the specific eras of shows, I think that's really cool. The directing in there was really fun. And Matt Shankman is like kind of a veteran director, I feel like so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I... Like directing is very like vote splitty. So I don't think either of the I May Destroy You episodes will win. Like Michaela co-directed one of them, the finale. So, but I think that's actually in second, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah. The I May Destroy You. Yeah. It, right now, Queen's Gambit and then I May Destroy You. Yeah. Ego Death. Is that the finale? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then WandaVision, Mayor of Easttown, Underground Railroad, Hamilton, and the I May Destroy You other episode. So I actually don't think, even though Michaela Cole, a 3-time nominee this year, has that in there, I have actually, I have her getting awarded next category in the movie writing category. And I am not alone, as she, the I May Destroy You is the very strong favorite here. The nominees in this category are I May Destroy You, Mare of Easttown, Queen's Gambit, and then 3 WandaVision episodes, which we've talked about before as jokes on us because they got the nominations. I know. But I
we tried
don't
to
think
on them for oversubmitting. And
Kevin, so they oversubmitted and got their three. Yeah, got their 3 nominations, but I don't think that's going to help them win. So I have I May Destroy You winning here largely because I think Michaela Cole is a person that should have an Emmy, and especially for I May Destroy You. And this is the best place to reward her for that. So that's why she'll win.
Yeah. And it's like that show is also, I think, not, I don't know, like the proper way to put this, but it feels like not just like the cool choice, but it's like kind of like the intellectual choice, you know?
Yeah.
And like just the topic itself and like how she tackled it on the show. So, and like the writing categories usually, you know, a lot of the times they like take that detour, even if like series goes a different way. Like, you know, you have, I mean, Game of Thrones won 2 writing awards, but then it lost like the next, like, you know, lost for the finale as it should have to Succession. So it's like, I feel like the writers, you know, they make like, you know, you could say, I guess, a better pick than maybe like the series.
I think that you, I think your artistry thing is right. And we've seen it at the Oscars too, with like original screenplay where you're going to get like Get Out winning, you know, like the, not the cooler maybe is like the, is a base, like, you know, reductive
it's
term.
It's like the writing achievement, you know?
Right. Like usually the more hipper pick is going to be in writing. So that's why I think I'm Destroyed too, like fits that mold where it's like nothing against the Queen's Gambit writing. I actually think it's really good.
But I think like all of these nominees or all of these shows are very well written.
Right.
You know? But I think that's just kind of like the cooler choice.
I also think you, like you said, like, I don't know, thinking of those other shows, is the writing the first thing that jumps off?
Exactly. And I think, yeah,
I May Destroy You, I actually think it is. And with like Queen's Gambit, it's not. And with Mare of Easttown, I'm not convinced it is. And WandaVision, I don't think it is. So like just that, it just feels like this is the place for it.
And yeah. I mean, with Queens, it's like, you know, it's an adaptation of a book. So I guess that has like going for it. Mare, I think, should get points for just like how funny it is. Cause it's so funny. Like this is like heartbreaking, like murder mystery, a lot of surprises, but it's also deathly funny, no pun intended. And WandaVision, like, you know, it gets props for just its handling of like the sitcom eras, and obviously everyone loved the grief line. So I feel like that's of the three, like that episode is probably, if you're going to pick a WandaVision episode, it'll be that one previously on. So, but I don't think it's winning that, but you know, good for it for getting 3 nominations here.
So let's briefly go through in the creative arts. So that's basically, those are the main limited series categories, but I'm just looking through the creative arts quickly. Places where some of these shows are rating. Main title design, WandaVision and Queen's Gambit are the top 2 picks there. At WandaVision, I think the Marvel title designs are great.
Oh yeah. And I think we discussed this with Caitlin last time that like, it should have been like the fake titles that are should have been eligible. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe some people might think of those instead of like the actual like end titles.
At the end yes. of the episode. I want to do music for a limited series. This is another one where a lot of our competitors are. And I know you are intimately love the composers. I think you did a lot of these for the site, at least spoke to some of these composers.
I did. Yes, I did.
Music for a limited series, Queen's Gambit, WandaVision, Underground Railroad, Fargo, and Oslo. Great category. Queen's Gambit is in the lead. I'm way in on that. I love that score. It is so good.
A great score.
Great score. So
I mean, all these Bertel, like Underground Railroad, but I don't know.
I don't think he's going to win for Underground Railroad. Yeah. It's a good score.
I mean,
score.
He couldn't even win for Succession last year.
And Succession is just this. That's, he's going to win next year for Succession, I think. Like, we'll just pencil that in.
I know. But and yeah, the WandaVision score is good too. But I have Queen's Gambit winning this.
Great. Just a great score. And then Let's see what else. Music Supervision, another one where a lot of our limited series contenders are showing up. I May Destroy You is in the lead, followed by Queen's Gambit, WandaVision, Bridgerton, The Crown, Lovecraft Country, dramas. We don't need to talk about them. It's fine. And then Halston makes the cut as well. Queen, I May Destroy You is leading here. I think that's probably fair. I got to say, I can't think of the Queen's Gambit. A lot of the music choices, I don't think, stood out really. Though there is a couple, and there's one great scene when she's having like a bender. I already forget the song, but a great scene.
That's how memorable like, it was.
I saw it again, like not to go back. I'm like, I watched this a while ago, so it's like, I can't remember.
It was 10 months ago.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It is.
But yeah, so I mean, this is fun.
Yeah, I think I have I May Destroy You for this too.
Yeah. And so this is like a place where a lot of these shows, WandaVision, music and lyrics, we all expected a win for Agatha all along. And the, you know, of course, like,
I mean, you're not picking your beloved Bo Burnham.
I mean, I kind of want to, but it's close. It's actually closer than it would appear. Bo Burnham is on the ascent for comedy, I think, is the song that he put in there. You know, I love that song. I don't know. I think Agatha All Along, though, again, because of the meme, it is like one of the most recognizable things of this year. And it isn't even like a recency bias thing for Bo Burnham, because WandaVision was also on like only a couple of months ago. I think people will remember it. So it's not like it's like we're going back 10 months. We're only going back like 4 months. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And then I guess that's really it. I'm trying to look. I'm just scrolling here quick. I think that's most of what we're dealing with in the limited series category. So you're just in on Mare basically. And like kind of you're expecting a good night for Mare of Easttown at the moment. We have months until the end, or at least a couple.
I mean, yeah, you know, I could have a walking away with three acting awards.
I mean, that's wild, but it's not unheard of. I just don't think
Julianne. It's definitely not, but I think usually you would think it would be like sweeping, like writing, directing. I think that's the weird part. It's not that like, I could have it winning three acting, but I'm not really considering it in writing or directing. Maybe that's on me. Maybe it'll just win one or both of those two. Cause I mean, we're also in like an era of a lot of sweeps. So
we are, but I just think that this is indicative of the fact that both of those shows are really strong contenders and both are really well-liked. You know, I think like that's why it's going to split. I think across like the acting, maybe for Mare of Easttown and maybe the directing and maybe even series for Queen's Gambit.
I mean, we'll definitely know more after Creative Arts, which is the weekend before the main Emmy ceremony. So, you know, they're facing off in some of those categories because a lot of them are divided between like period and contemporary. But I think casting would be a big one. I think they're all nominating casting for that. So, like, I can see, let me see, where's casting? Yeah, I May Destroy You, Mare of Easttown, Queen's Gambit, Underground Railroad, and WandaVision. I can see like Mare winning that just because I think the casting on that show was really great. Just like it feels so lived in, like all the supporting and background characters. Like I don't know, like all these other shows, like you have like either like a main character or just like, you know, like a core group, like I May Destroy You or like even like WandaVision, like two of those people, they were already cast. Like they're right from the movies, you know?
Well, I guess with the casting thing too, is like does Underground Railroad, again, not to go back on that. And I know it, like all the caveats in place, but I'm like, is it a matter of like, I think Mare of Easttown is a great, like you said, like the casting is really great, but you still are starting with like massive stars, right? Like for all those major roles. And Underground Railroad is really finding people for these roles that people are not necessarily familiar with. And I think that maybe should take a little bit of make it a leg up. But that said, I think you'd have to have actually watched the show to say like, oh, look how great, like all these people who I have not necessarily seen before are in these roles. Outside of like Joel Egerton, basically, who's like the most famous recognizable person in the series. I don't know. I could see Underground Railroad maybe competing there, but who knows? I'll be curious to see, even with the seven nominations, if people go back and watch it, I guess. I don't know.
Like, what are the other categories it's up for? It's like cinematography.
Yeah. It's like a great, and you know, like, let me Google this. Cinematography, great. James Laxton. I actually talked to him for our nominees roundtable. Great guy. Did Moonlight, obviously, and the other Barry Jenkins
series, sound editing.
I mean, like all the stuff it got nominated for, it's actually like those are legit things for it. You know, like the sound of the show is great because it's like very quiet and like very
uses a lot of like natural sound. Yeah. So
I mean, it's all good stuff. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, like it's just underperformed overall and it probably won't compete. But I think if we'll see, casting will be interesting. And if Mira Vincent wins there over Queen's Gambit, maybe that's like a bellwether.
Yeah, because it's not just that category is not just casting directors voting. This is also like directors and producers, I believe. So
Queen's Gambit, I guess if I was going to make the pro argument for it, I would say like another show that took somewhat recognizable faces and put them in roles that maybe people were not expecting and slash like kind of found a few people. It is very well cast in that regard, I think, but again, like maybe the Mare Beast Down, like you said, like combining
like Mare is like more of an ensemble of them, like interacting with each other more. Whereas like, you know, like Queens is like her moving forward throughout the series and leaving people behind or like they come to her, which is like also the same with like Underground Railroad, you know? Cause like, last year Watchmen won that. And like, I mean, we knew Watchmen was winning everything. But the year before, when They See Us won casting, and they obviously lost series. But I think we also knew that When They See Us was going to win casting because it was just, you know, everyone made such a big deal about casting like the Central Park Five, like the younger versions and everything, and how good of a job they did. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, we'll find that out in September. It's going to be here before we know it, Joyce, because it's already August.
I know. And then voting starts in 2 weeks.
Incredible. So bookmark this and watch it again in 2 weeks. So you can be like, oh, look how smart Joyce and Chris were. We're going to listen to them and
copy all of their picks.
I'm going to listen to them and vote for Underground Railroad for casting. That would be me, I guess. They can listen to me because I think it's good.
It's going to go 7-7 now.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to win. Joyce, thanks again for doing this. We'll talk to you next week. We'll come up with something fun for next week.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.